Well, well, we're glad you're here in the house of the Lord this morning. A lot of things happening, seem like, in this time. We have to stay on top for Jesus. Amen. Remember, this afternoon there'll be service at the nursing home in Culpeper at 3:30. And then back here for young people's prayer service at 5:45. Youth service 6 o'clock. The evening service 7 o'clock. Tuesday night service at 7 o'clock. And Wednesday night, there'll be the nursing home service in Front Royal at 6:30. Friday night will be the fall get-together here at the church starting about 6 o'clock. Let's see here. On the 13th, Tuesday night, the 13th, that's a week from this coming Tuesday night, there'll be a special Veterans Day presentation, and I'm sure all of those that are veterans would certainly want to be here. That's on the 13th, and Brother Alvin Doval, who is a veteran himself, will be the guest speaker for that program. And on the 16th will be the youth rally, and be at the Amosville Fire Hall. So remember those announcements. Amen. Are you glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. We appreciate the goodness of God, the riches of His grace. Amen. And I don't know really right now whether I'm going to be long-winded or short-winded this morning. But I do have a few things on my heart that I'd like to share with you today. And for our scripture lesson this morning, we want to go to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, Genesis. And first of all, we're going to start reading out of chapter 16. And then we want to go on further over into the book of Genesis and chapter 25. So we're glad for you to be here this morning. Appreciate the mercy and goodness of God. How many of you remembered to turn your clocks back last night? Well, most of you did. We have, I think, about three that forgot it, and they were here early this morning. I wished a few other folks had forgot it, and that had been here on time. But evidently, they remembered. Praise God. So turn with us in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 16, and I want to start reading at verse 7. And we will read down several verses here. I want us to remember that our scripture reading right now in this 16th chapter is before Abraham's name was changed, and before he had the covenant with the Lord. So, and the angel of the Lord found her, that is Hagar, by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said unto her, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. The angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Therefore the well was called Beer-lahai. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Simply saying, Abraham was 66 years old when Ishmael was born. Now let's go to the 25th chapter, and I'm not going to read, but just a few verses here, verses 7, 8, and 9. And I want us to look at these verses especially this morning. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 115 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people, and his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre, in the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know. I trust that the Lord will help us this morning as we look at these verses. I think these, I was reading quite a bit this week about this story of Abraham and his two sons. So this morning we'll just simply title this, The Two Sons of Abraham. The Two Sons of Abraham. It might do as well to remember Abraham lived a long life, lived 175 years of age when he died. Matter of fact, he lived such a long life that he was still living when Jacob was born. That's his grandson. And matter of fact, Jacob was 15 years old when Abraham died. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, Abraham was a contemporary of Shem. How many remember who Shem was? Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's sons. So Shem lived 75 years into the life of Abraham. So that gives you some perspective how long people lived and how old they lived to be in those years. And I'm sure that Abraham gleaned a lot of information and good instructions or help from Shem himself. But as we look into this lesson this morning, Abraham, at 175 years of age when he died, 100 years after he came to Canaan, left land of the Ur of the Chaldeans and came and dwelt in this land, so long he was a sojourner in a strange country, 100 years. And whether I thought when reading these verses, especially that verse 8, Abraham gave up the ghost and died of a good old age, an old man full of years, and he was gathered to his people. I thought last night and again this morning whether our stay in this life is long or short, and all of us are destined to die. It is appointed unto every man once to die, but that's not the end of the story. But after this, the judgment. And it really doesn't matter whether you live a short time here or live to be 100 years old. And there are a lot of people nowadays that live to be in their 90s or 100. And it really doesn't matter how long you live. It matters that we leave behind a testimony to the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Abraham was called a friend of God. That's quite a testimony. Amen. The Bible tells us that he walked with God. And in his life, he had a testimony that he was called the father of the faithful. So he had a testimony to the faithfulness and goodness of the Lord and a good example to his family. Amen. Concerning Abraham, the Bible tells us that he commanded his children to serve the Lord. He was a man that had control of his family, even when they were adults, grown, married. He still had quite an influence because of his testimony, the good life that he lived. Amen. And we are told that his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him. It seems that Abraham had himself brought them together while he lived. Though there was a great breach between Isaac and Ishmael for several years. Amen. Ishmael was considered the outcast, the son of Hagar. But however, amen, that Abraham, how he did it, I'm not sure. But it appears from all indications that he brought Isaac and Ishmael together to live in peace. Amen. And let us not close the history of the life of Abraham without blessing God for such a testimony and the triumph of his faith. Abraham was a godly man. Amen. Abraham was a faithful man. There are a lot of things that I'd like to talk to you about this morning and from this lesson today. Amen. The Bible tells us that he was an old man, full of years, gathered into his people. Now that phrase, gathered into his people, just simply means that he gathered with his, amen, departed. Already that's over in the eternal world. Amen. And Isaac, and from what we can gather from reading the scriptures and history as well, Isaac and Ishmael lived near each other. And especially in the latter part of Abraham's life, they were on friendly terms. And both Abraham and Isaac must have had some influence on the character and even the religion of Ishmael. Having said that, I want us to go back now and look at the history of this story. Abraham had two sons. One of them was the son of promise. The other was the son of the flesh. Amen. And it appears, and I've read some articles concerning these two boys from the history of the Jewish people themselves. It appears that from their writings that Ishmael had repented of the bitterness that he had because he was an outcast. And he came together with Isaac and buried his father. Amen. Now, throughout the biblical portions dealing with Abraham's life, amen, we read about the tensions. Now, life is full of troubles. Anybody know anything about troubles? Amen. In the life of Abraham, as godly a man as he was, there was contentions between Abraham and Sarah concerning how to deal with Hagar and Ishmael. Amen. There was a family problem here. Has anybody ever had any family problem? Don't raise your hand. Amen. But there was contention here in this home of Abraham because of Hagar and Ishmael. Abraham and Sarah, up till the birth of Ishmael, had a good but childless marriage. And that led Sarah to suggest that her husband consort with this Egyptian handmaid Hagar in order to gain an heir, because up to now they have no children. Abraham has lots of cattle. He has lots of land, lots of possessions. There's no heir to pass these holdings on to. And so you must remember that this is before Abraham had a relationship with God and before his name was changed to Abraham. Amen. In the early scriptures that we read to you from chapter 16, he was called Abram. Amen. But after his experience with God, after he had had a relationship with God, after he walked with God, amen, his name was changed, and after the covenant that God made with Abraham, amen, then his name was changed to Abraham instead of just Abram. Now, let's go back a little bit. So there is a proposition made by Sarah that Abraham take Hagar to be his wife. And as soon as Hagar becomes expecting or pregnant, the tension now really begins. Up to this point in time, there wasn't hardly any contention at all. Amen. But now this contention arises. Now, I want to say right here, amen, in most all cases that I know of where there is contention, it is because somebody gets out of the will of God. Hello. Amen. Ishmael was not the will of God. Now, after Ishmael was born, he had to be dealt with. But before his birth, it was not the will of God, the perfect will of God, for Ishmael to be born. Abraham's descendants have suffered ever since the birth of Ishmael, because he was not the will of God. He was not the son of promise. Amen. It was a result of the desires of the flesh, the natural man, that got in the way of God's divine plan. So now, amen, Hagar is expecting. And Hagar, amen, if you read, went on and read the 16th chapter of, and the 17th chapters and on through concerning Hagar and Sarai, amen, Hagar makes light of Sarah. Amen. And now there's problems. There's contention. Amen. Sarah blames Abraham, amen, for, in her opinion, for not properly chastising, amen, this maidservant, Hagar. And Sarah begins to afflict Hagar, which causes the maidservant to flee into the wilderness. Amen. In Genesis chapter 16, the verses that we read to you. Amen. Now, in the wilderness, she is whining over her mistreatment, amen, by Sarah. Sarah had afflicted her, punished her excessively, according to the history of the Jews. Sarah was to blame. She afflicted Hagar excessively, amen, and as a result, she fled into the wilderness, not wanting to endure this affliction by her Sarah. Amen. But when she gets out there in the wilderness, there's hardly anything to eat. There's very little to drink as far as water, surviving. Amen. And while she is moaning and groaning and whining, amen, an angel of the Lord comes by. Amen. And he promises her a son. And tells her that his name is to be called Ishmael. There's not many people in the Bible who is named before they're ever born. Amen. It seems like to me, I can't recall right off immediately, but it seems like to me, it's I think there's 7 men in the Bible that were named before they were born. But Ishmael is one of them. And this angel tells Hagar that this son that's going to be born, you call his name Ishmael, who will have innumerable children himself. Now, I thought it was ironic that Ishmael had 12 sons. Jacob had 12 sons. Amen. A repeat, if you will. But the message that the angel gave to Hagar was this. Amen. He's going to be a wild man. Amen. A wild man, uncontrolled. And matter of fact, the original writing of concerning Ishmael, amen. The original of that was that he's going to be like a wild donkey that you can't tame. Amen. And this angel gave to her an insight concerning his character. His hand is going to be against every man's hand. And every man's hand is going to be against him. Amen. And I want to say right here this morning, that's the condition that exists in the Middle East right now. Amen. And the Arab world are the descendants of Ishmael. Amen. The Jews are the descendants of Isaac. Amen. And then you got two powers that's working against each other. Amen. And I was listening to some news the other day, and they were talking about how the Arabs want to push Israel off into the Mediterranean Sea and annihilate them. I said, that's nothing new. That's been going on for years. Amen. And if the Arabs were not fighting with Israel, they'd be fighting each other. And just a few months ago, amen, you saw the truth of that fact in the fact that there were two strong men in the Arab world. One of them was named Abbas, and I forgot the other one's name. And they were striving for control of who was going to be the president of the Palestinians. Amen. But I want to tell you, the Bible is always right. It said he's going to be a wild man, uncontrolled. Nobody will control him or his, amen, progeny. Amen. They will be wild people, uncontrolled. They will, not only will they be against Isaac and Isaac's descendants, but they'll be against each other. Amen. And history has proven itself to be very true concerning that prophecy that the angel of the Lord, amen, gave. Now, classical commentaries, amen, are very critical. This is the Jewish commentaries are very critical of Sarah. Amen. And this one article said this, our matriarch, who was Sarah, amen, sinned with this affliction of Hagar. And also Abraham sinned in allowing her to act this way against Hagar. I want to tell you, I don't care. It doesn't matter what the conditions exist in life. Amen. It is never an excuse to get mad. I lost you. Well, Brother David, the Bible said be angry and sin not. But we got a generation that goes way beyond angry. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible also said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That means get it fixed before the sun sets. Amen. Don't let it carry over till the next day and the next day and the next week. Get it fixed. Amen. And you see, they have a saying in the Middle East among the Arab world and the Jewish people alike. Amen. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know what that means? You kill my dog, I'll kill your cat. I'll get you back. Amen. And that's that mentality still exists right now in the Middle East among those two warring factions. Amen. In the world. Amen. And so that mentality, the descendants of Ishmael will afflict the descendants of Abraham and Sarah, and that war has and feud has been going on for centuries. Amen. Y'all understand that? Say amen. One writer said apparently Sarah was justified, or at least she felt like she was justified in returning Hagar to her earlier status as a maid or a servant. Amen. And afflicting her as she did. Hey, I want to tell you, y'all going to have to stay with me until I get through here this morning if you want to get the whole crux of this lesson. Amen. I am amazed at the number of people that feel like that they are justified in acting ugly and nasty. Amen. Just because of what somebody else does. I want to tell you, you're never justified to do wrong. Two wrongs do not make a right. Amen. Jesus said, help me here. Amen. If they slap you on the right cheek, what do? You turn the other. One fellow said, doesn't say what to do after that. I want to tell you, we have, in this generation, we have totally forgotten the mentality that Jesus gave to us to live in peace. Anybody understand? Does anybody know what peace is? Amen. Amen. Peace. Live peaceably with all men. Amen. And I want to tell you, two wrongs does not make a right. Amen. Come on here. You kill my dog, I'll kill your cat. It wasn't right for them to kill your dog, but neither is it right for you to kill the cat. Amen. So the message of the Bible is to be a peacemaker. Amen. And Sarah was hardly what you'd call a peacemaker. She's the one who stirred up the pot. Amen. And created the atmosphere that was in this home. Amen. And Hagar is out here in the wilderness. Amen. And she is, she knows now by the message of the angel that she is expecting, and that her son's name is going to be Ishmael. Amen. And the angel says to her, amen, you need to go back to Hagar. Amen. And submit to her, amen, afflictions that she imposes on you. Amen. Now, why would an angel tell that? Because there are certain, amen, truths of God's word that need to be played out here. And you don't return evil for evil. Help me here. Amen. And as Ishmael and Isaac growing up together, amen, in Abraham's household, and they get along pretty good for a while. Ishmael now is growing. Ishmael's born. They've called his name Ishmael. I read to you out of the scripture in the earlier verses. Amen. If you wish to go back to, let me see here, what chapter? Chapter 21. Well, I'll get to that in just a minute. Amen. If you go back to the chapter 16, you'll find out that when Ishmael was born, Abraham named him Ishmael because that's what Hagar had told Abraham, that the angel had said to her that his name should be called Ishmael. And so now, amen, they're both in this home. Isaac is born and Ishmael is already growing up, pretty good sized boy. He's older than Isaac, and he's the firstborn of Abraham. They're growing up together in Abraham's household. And all of a sudden, if you used to go back to chapter 21 and verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Amen. And wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. The thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son, Ishmael. Now, say what you want to. If you read the whole life and story of Abraham, amen, you'll find out that there was a great affection of Abraham toward Ishmael. He was his son. Hello. He was his son. I want you to get that because I'm going to deal with that in a little while. Ishmael was Abraham's son. Now there is a bond many times between father and son that you cannot describe in words. And even when the children go bad and do bad things and commit horrible things, amen, that's still your son. I lost you there. Amen. And Sarah sees the son of this Egyptian Hagar mocking her son Isaac, and she said to Abraham, banish this handmaid and her son. The son of this handmaiden will not inherit together with my son, with Isaac. Now, I want to deal with some things here before I get through here. Now, I know this is not shouting ground, but before I get through, I want to give you something that will help you understand life a little better than what you do. Amen. Abraham loves Ishmael, and it grieves him because of the fact that this tension is in the home, and they can't get along. And when God first promises Abraham a son with Sarah, he cries out, would that Ishmael will live before you. Amen. You find that in Genesis chapter 17, verse 18. Amen. I wish that Ishmael, amen, Ishmael's my firstborn. Ishmael. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a bond between the firstborn and the father that is not always there with the other children. That's a special birth. That's a special child because, especially if it's a boy, amen, there is a bond there. Now, I want to tell you, amen, my oldest son, Ricky, he's lived in Oklahoma now for many years. And I could say this, and I trust that you'll understand. Ricky did a lot of bad things after he got grown. And it wasn't my desire, amen, for things that he got involved in and what he did. But I want to tell you, there's a bond there. Hello here. Amen. And for a long time, Ricky never called home, amen, except on special occasions. But through the years, he growed up a little more. Got a little more sense about him. Learned a few hard lessons in life. And I don't know the number of times that he has told me, Daddy, I wished I had listened to you. If I'd have just listened. But he said, I was stubborn. I was hard-headed. I was rebellious. I know now, amen, that you were right and I was wrong. But at the time, I wanted my own life. Come on here. Amen. And almost, not every day, but almost every day, Ricky will call home now. Amen. And he's got a good job. He's superintendent on commercial work out there. And he's done fairly well. But I want to tell you, he realizes his mistake. And there's a bond now that because... How come? Because he's my son. I lost some of y'all. I know he's not living right. He's not saved. But he's still my son. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I will assure you, amen, that if anybody give Daddy too much trouble, all I'd have to do is call Ricky. Amen. Because there's a bond there. He's my son. I'm his father. And no matter what he might have done in his younger years, amen, there is a bonding there. And that's the way it was with Abraham and Ishmael. Amen. When God promises Abraham a son of promise, now by Sarah, amen, he cries out, would that Ishmael would live before you. Amen. I wish that Ishmael was the son of promise. But he wasn't. Somebody say amen. Amen. And Sarah's request for banishment is not because she is against Ishmael sharing in the inheritance. Now I want you to get this. This is vitally important, this thought right here. Amen. She didn't want him banished because that she didn't want him sharing in the inheritance. Matter of fact, before it's all said and done, he did, amen, share in the inheritance. But that's not the reason she wanted him banished. It's rather because she believes that the mocking Ishmael, who has already been described by the angel of God as a wild donkey of a man whose hand is against everybody and everybody's hands against him. Amen. And she knew that Ishmael would not be satisfied with just sharing the inheritance. He would want it all. Hello here. He would want it all. And that's the very condition that exists in the Middle East right now. Amen. The Arabs want it all. They're not content to live in the land of Canaan or the promised land with the Jews. And both being the descendants of Abraham, they're not content at being and living together or even having two states. Amen. The Arab state and the Jewish state. They're not satisfied. They have said over and over publicly on the news, they want to push, amen, Israel out into the Mediterranean Sea, destroy them totally. And Sarah saw that in Ishmael. Amen. She said, he's not satisfied with just sharing the inheritance. He wants it all. That's his character. He's a wild man. He's uncontrollable. He'll destroy and eat up everything that's in his pathway. Amen. And I want to say here, in a spiritual sense, in a biblical, scriptural, spiritual sense, Ishmael is after the flesh. He's a man after the flesh. Isaac is a man after the spirit. And there has always been a tug of war between the flesh and the spirit. Amen. Paul the apostle alludes to this very situation in the New Testament, in his writings, in his epistles. Amen. Cast out the bondwoman with her son. Get rid of the old flesh. Amen. And the desires of the flesh. And let the spiritual man thrive and live. Amen. As long, come on, y'all stay with me. As long as there is both the flesh and the spirit trying to coexist in the life of an individual, you will never have any victory. There will always be contention. Amen. The spiritual man wants to follow the leading of the Lord. The carnal man wants to follow the leading of the flesh and control everybody and everything. And that's the spiritual war that's going on even in the church world right now. Amen. We have a generation in our American church world that are not spiritual beings. They're not spiritual people. They don't pray much. Very little do they pray. Very little do they read the Bible. Very little do they understand what the Bible even teaches. Amen. Amen. You can just tell them that this church is not your church and it's not my church, it's God's church. And they don't even understand that principle. Amen. Because their carnal mind, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Amen. Amen. The spiritual mind wants to follow the leading of the Lord. Amen. But the carnal mind wants, are y'all still with me here this morning? The carnal mind wants to oppose and control. Amen. The carnal mind is not satisfied at coexisting. The carnal mind wants to control their entire life. And God said it can't be. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or despise the one and hold to the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And Sarah realized that condition existed in Ishmael and Isaac. And she said, amen, Ishmael's got to go. Amen. And I want to tell you, if you're going to have any victory at all in your life, the carnal mind, amen, and the carnal appetites, and the passions of the flesh has got to go. Crucify the old man. Amen. Be raised in the newness and the likeness of Christ. Amen. But let's go back to the story here this morning, if you will. Amen. Abraham, now let's look at it from the natural perspective. Amen. Abraham now can't stop thinking about his firstborn son, Ishmael. Amen. Wishing to know about the path that his son has taken. He, after 3 years, after he is cast out, amen, and wanders in the wilderness, and Hagar and Ishmael's out there now. They've been out there 3 years. Amen. And Ishmael is grown. He marries a girl or a woman. Amen. And after 3 years, Abraham sets out to find him. And when he finds him, this woman that Ishmael married, amen, whoever she was, she was the only one home, and she refuses to even give Abraham water. She refuses to give him bread. He traveled a long ways across the desert to try to find his son. Amen. And she's bitter. She's hateful. She's aggravating. Why? We're not told. But Abraham asked her to tell Ishmael, amen, that I came. Ishmael wasn't home. Ishmael was gone somewhere. I don't know where. Abraham asked his wife, tell him I was here. Tell him I'd like to see him. Tell him. Amen. I'd like to, amen, see if we can get together. In modern terms, amen, if y'all allow me to say it like this, amen, we need to get together and go out to eat together. Praise God. Just talk things over. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, amen, Abraham goes back home, doesn't get to see Ishmael. Amen. And for time passes by. 3 years, another 3 years passes by, according to the history of the Jewish people. Amen. Another 3 years. That's 6 years now since he has seen the face of Ishmael. Amen. Ishmael's grown. Now, amen, Ishmael has remarried. I don't know whether his first wife died. I don't know what happened to her, but he remarries. Amen. And second wife that he's married to is more congenial, easier to get along with. Amen. And Abraham returns to Ishmael after another 3 years. Amen. And was pleased to find that his son had gotten the message that his daddy wanted to see him. 6 years now. 6 years since he saw him. Amen. And help me here. Abraham. In this visit, Abraham prayed for his son. And when Ishmael was told what had happened, how things had happened, how they had transpired. He understood Abraham's love for him and affection for him and compassion for him, and extended to him as a father's love and compassion for his children. And they got things patched up. I'm going to tell you. Amen. Contention is a terrible thing. I'm reminded of the story that Brother Gene Huff told when he was here many, many, many years ago now. And Brother Huff in the last few years has not been in good health and has not traveled much as near as much as he used to. But how many remember Brother Gene Huff? Amen. Great man. Wonderful man. And he is state senator in Kentucky for many, many years, finally retired and pastored a church while he was even yet state senator. But nevertheless, he's a great man. And he was what I would call an orator. I mean, he had a way with words and a way of saying things. But when he was here many years ago, probably, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 25 years ago. It's been a long time. He preached for us right here. He preached one night, and in his preaching, he told this story. He had preached a revival in some place, and he called the name of the place, and I was unfamiliar with it. He said that God's Spirit dealt with hearts every night to come and pray. He said every night there was one gentleman that sat on the back seat, and the whole time Brother Huff would preach, this man would sit there and cry and weep and cry and weep. He had tried to get him to come pray. And finally, the last night that Brother Huff was there, he said, I went back, amen, after folks had come to the altar to pray, and after I'd already given the altar call and folks were praying around the altar, I went back to this gentleman, and he said, I really had a burden for him. And he said, don't you know you need to pray? You ought to pray. And he dealt with him, talked to him a few minutes. And this man told him the story. I can't remember all the details, but I can remember the gist of it. Amen. He said, my father was a pretty wealthy man. And I know I ought to pray. And I know I need to pray. But you don't understand, preacher. I know I want to pray. But you don't know the story. My father, being a wealthy man, he died and left the inheritance to us children. My brother beat me out of my share of the inheritance that belonged to me. And he said, my hate for my brother is stronger than my desire to pray. God have mercy. I want to tell you, contention is an awful thing. If people could realize what that spirit does to an individual soul. Abraham, in going to visit his son, his firstborn son, Ishmael. Amen. Praise God, they got it fixed. And after Abraham explained to him, and now... Amen. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. In the 25th chapter of Genesis that I read to you, Sarah's been dead for a number of years. And Abraham's about dying, in dying condition. Amen. Abraham and Ishmael has got things fixed together. Amen. And he understood his father's love and compassion for him. And the Midrash, which is the Jewish writings, amen, tells us why and how Ishmael repented at the end of Abraham's life. Amen. And the Midrash said this, and I thought it's so good, and I want to pass this truth on to you this morning. A father must never give up on his child. Hello. Now, if Brother Roy was here, he'd say, if you can't remember that, write it down. A father must never give up on his child, even a mocking child. a heretical child. Amen. A grasping son. A rebellious child. Y'all stay with me. Never give up, amen, on a child even that wants all of your inheritance. Don't ever give up and say, amen, there's no hope. Amen. The Midrash said, a father should never give up on his child. Praise God. And I feel like that's a lesson that some of us could learn even now. Some of us have children that's been rebellious, hard-headed, stubborn. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Amen. And said things through the years that should have never been said. Amen. And acted in ways that, amen, later years they wish they had never acted. But don't give up. Praise God. There's a God that knows how to fix some things. And I'll guarantee you, there's some things you can't fix. Only God can fix. Amen. But if you hold on to the promises of God, train up a child in the way it should go. And when it's old, it'll not depart from it. Amen. They may sow some wild oats. They may do things that's contrary to everything they've been raised. Amen. But glory to God, hold on to God for them. And at every opportunity, amen, sow a good seed. Amen. Sow a kind word. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Praise God. And almost, not every time, but almost every time Ricky calls, amen. And his mother always asks him, amen, to go to church on Sunday, especially if he calls on Saturday. Amen. And she's trying to get him to go to church out there. Of course, there's no holiness churches in the area where he's living. Amen. But that's no excuse. He knows how to live. Without any, and every once in a while, amen, I'll put a good nugget in there. Amen. I don't pressure him. He said, I knowed you was gonna say something before you hung up. Praise God. So every opportunity you get, sow a good seed. You don't have to be forceful and try to force them to do something. Amen, that they're not ready to do. But you can sow a good seed. You can sow a kind word. You can just, amen, sometimes even in a joking way, get the message to them. Amen. And if you stay kind and sweet, amen, there is no limit to what God's grace and love can do when you can't do. Praise God. It's so easy for us to... In a hostile environment, in a tension, amen, in a home where things are almost in a total uproar all the time, it's so easy for the natural man, amen, to want to rise up and get back. Ah, amen. But that's not the way to make peace. If Ishmael is out there, amen. Are y'all still with me here this morning? Amen. Your son or your daughter may still be living in your home. Amen. Are y'all still here? And they may say things that you wish they wouldn't say. But don't give up on them. There's still hope as long as there's breath. There's hope. Somebody say amen. Ishmael returns to his father's house. And at least in time for the burial. And I thought this was so interesting. I read the history from the Jewish people in the Midrash writings. It says that the Midrash suggests that this woman, Keturah, the woman that Abraham married after Sarah died. Strange things happen in this world. Y'all remember Sarah died? Everybody remember Sarah died first. Afterward, Abraham married a woman by the name of Keturah. The writer in the Midrash said, that this woman, Keturah, was actually Hagar. And the matchmaker between between Abraham and Keturah was none other than Isaac, that wanted their family to be together in peace. Now, I'm not in any sense of the word advocating what Ishmael did in his early years or what Abraham did in taking Hagar as his wife at the suggestion of, amen, Sarah. I'm not suggesting that that is approval. That was not the will of God. Hello? But there are some things after the mistake is made that has to be dealt with in a godly way. I lost some of y'all right there. Amen. Forgiveness is a great thing. Huh? You hear me? Forgiveness is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I wished I could say, I've never made a mistake, never done anything. I wished I could say I made every decision and every choice just exactly right. I can't say that. I can't say I've always lived right. There's been a few mistakes in my life I wished I'd have never made. But I've got a Father that loved me. Praise God, and searched for me. Praise God. Amen. And we, if y'all excuse the vernacular, we sat down and ate together. Amen. And got it all fixed up. And he told me how much he loved me. Because I, amen, was special to him. And I want to tell you, amen, God's mercy is far reaching this morning. Amen. And just as sure, glory to God, amen, as that prodigal son went into a far country. Amen. Amen. The father of that wayward prodigal son never ceased to look for him. Amen. And when he saw him coming, praise God. Amen. He ran to him. He never accused him of what he had done, how he had squandered the family's, amen, inheritance. He never accused him of the wild life that he lived. The boy knew what he had done and how he had squandered. Amen. He just grabbed him and hugged him and kissed him. Praise God. Amen. And said, go kill the fatted calf. For my son that was dead is alive. He was lost and is found. And there are some things in life that you'll never be able to straighten out on your own. It'll have to be the help of God. Amen. But I can tell you this. There's a God that is the Father. And He still loves every one of us. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank You this morning for Your blessed presence. And I pray that the Holy Ghost move in this service this morning and touch hearts and lives. Oh God, their hearts in this place today. Hearts in this place today that's in a desert place. They've left Father's house. But I know, Lord, that Your care has reached out for them. I pray that the Holy Ghost will move in this place this morning. Touch some precious hearts. Glorify Your name in this sanctuary. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Oh God. Everybody stand. I know there's some precious hearts here this morning that really ought to pray. Needs to pray. And there are some saints of God that's got children that's not doing like they ought to do, and you know it. But could you pray for them? Could you earnestly seek God? Amen. So much so that you go searching for them in that faraway country. Look for them. Precious Lord Jesus, we pray for your presence here. Let's come and pray.